Well, as taking stock continues, although we're going to take bonds in just a moment, we'll be talking. Well, Paul's got the stripper queued up. Now, does that get your attention? We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. But first, Catherine Cowdery has all the news for us.
And thank you, Michael. Of course, it gets everybody's attention. Crude oil prices have resumed their retreat, and that's weighing on the stock market. U.S. benchmarks erased earlier gains. They're declining as oil trades at a five-year low. Stocks did gain earlier today. A report showed industrial production jumped in November by the most since May 2010. Assembly lines turned out more consumer goods and business equipment, signaling manufacturing is bolstering economic growth. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day. Dow Industrial Average is down 99.6% at 17,180. S&P 500 down 13.2% at 1989. The NASDAQ is lower by 48 points, 1% at 4604. NYMEX crude oil down $2.70 an ounce, 4.7% at $55.11. Spot gold down $29.20 an ounce, 2.4% at $11.93.60. 10-year Treasury down 8/32 with a yield of 2.11%. PetSmart is going private. The pet store retailer has agreed to be purchased by a group led by BC Partners for about $8.3 billion in the biggest leverage deal for an American company this year. Bloomberg's David Welch on why BC Partners is interested in PetSmart.
BC Partners sees a company that was probably undervalued by the market because there were a lot of the company had slowing growth. Investors thought that maybe the internet was really taking a big hit out of their sales. So the stock went down. BC figured it was a good way to jump in and try to buy this cheap. And they had some good competition from KKR and from Apollo as well. It was a pretty aggressive auction.
Bloomberg's David Welch. American Airlines Group may be undervalued by as much as 20%. That's the word from James Dondero, president of Highland Capital Management. He says American Airlines is not receiving full credit for its successful merger with U.S. Airways. Dondero adds that falling jet fuel prices and strong travel demand in the U.S. are among the reasons that Americans should reach as high as $60 a share. Now, American shares are up 1.8% today, trading at $50.84. Woodside Petroleum has agreed to buy Apache stake in liquefied natural gas projects at Wheatstone in Western Australia and at Kitimat in British Columbia. The price tag, $2.7 billion. And now for a look at some of the other stories we're following today, let's go to Bloomberg's June Grasso.
Thank you, Catherine. This news update is brought to you by CashPro, the cash management platform from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. CashPro lets you stay on top of your working capital in real time. It's totally pro-business. That's the power of global connections. Sydney police say three people have died, including the gunman, during a 17-hour hostage crisis that ended when police raided a downtown cafe. Heavily armed police stormed the cafe in the heart of Sydney, ending a siege by an Iranian-born gunman who'd been holding more than a dozen people hostage. Officials say this was an isolated incident. President Barack Obama is observing the end of combat operations in Afghanistan by visiting U.S. troops at a New Jersey air base.
In more than a decade of war, this 9/11 generation has worked with the Afghan people to help them reclaim their communities and prevent terrorist attacks against our own country.
It's been a launching point for deployments and the scene of emotional returns for many service members. For more on these stories 24 hours a day, go to Bloomberg.com or download the Bloomberg Radio Plus mobile app. Catherine?
Thank you, June. Let's get a quick update of the markets. The Dow Industrial Average is down 104 points at 17,177. S&P 500 down 13 points at 1989. The NASDAQ is lower by 48 points at 4605. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. And now back to taking stock with Michael McKee.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Well, this is Bloomberg taking stock on 1130 in New York, 1200 a.m. in Boston, 960 in the San Francisco Bay Area, where Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn will be on Wednesday. They'll be starting San Francisco Week, talking with San Francisco Fed President John Williams. You want to join them Wednesday at 10 a.m. on the Bloomberg Advantage.
We'll be right back.
All right, this is the misogynistic, male-only... No, it's not. It's we're just playing the song because we're going to talk about a portion of the bond market that has the name, but not the actual Terpsichorean connotations of the music that we just played, strips. They take off the interest. They separate the interest from the principal payments, and they sell you both. Suzanne Walker joining us now because... strips are still selling like hotcakes, even though, once again, we keep saying this. We've been saying it since January of last year. I mean, the bond market rally is over.
Right.
So you don't want to be selling strips. And we're going to have massive inflation, of course. So people are buying these things. They're not buying that story.
No, they're not. They're not buying that story at all. I mean, strips represent one of the smallest areas of the Treasury bond market. It's about $214 billion that's outstanding, compared with, of course, $12.4 trillion for the entire bond market itself. But the investors are betting on low inflation and low rates for a while. And so that's why we've seen increased demand for strips.
Now, we should mention that it makes sense that you separate the two things. Mm-hmm. So you could say you strip the interest rate. But this actually has an acronym that makes sense. It means something.
It does mean something. Separate trading of interest and registered securities is what it is. And as you mentioned, it's separating the principal from the coupon. And people like it. Investors such as pension funds and insurance companies like it because they're able to buy the bond at a discount. So they're paying like 43 cents on the dollar, and they'll be retrieving the total amount, par value, at maturity. So they like it. And they also like it for a number of reasons. One, because the yield is the highest that you can get in the Treasury bond market. And two, because they get duration, the longest duration in the bond market. So they're able to match their assets with their liabilities. So that's why we see these long-term investors pouring into strips.
Well, we were just talking with Neil Dutta, who said the economy is getting better. And we should start to see some wage pressures and things like that. But if you're investing in this, you're not betting on inflation being a problem for a long time.
Exactly. And that's people do anticipate that the U.S. will continue to do well. However, as we know, there are a lot of issues now in Europe. Today we saw a particular measure that tracks inflation drop to record lows. And so inflation expectations around the globe are lower than one would expect at this point in time. So that's why people are pouring money into bonds and into strips also, because they do anticipate that inflation expectations will remain low. And of course, we can't forget the 5-year dip in oil. Oil prices are at the 5-year low. So even that is contributing to the lower inflation expectations.
Now, are they finding enough bonds to be able to meet the demand at this point? Because it's, I mean, there is something of a liquidity issue in the bond market these days.
There is a liquidity issue. In strips, the demand is there. They're able to get the supply out. Overall, though, I think issuance next year in the Treasury bond market is going to be a little bit lower than this year, and that's because the deficit, of course, has come down. And so the Treasury is not borrowing as much money as it has in the past. They're cutting back the maturities that they sell, etc. And so that's what's happening. Supply will still be there, but there is a demand supply imbalance. So there's expected to be continued demand for fixed income because of this.
Does that change the calculation in terms of what you're going to pay for it, though?
Well, yields are expected to be low, probably not as low as they are now. But if we look at what the forecasters are saying, they're saying that the 10-year yield is going to be about 2.38% by the end of this year. Earlier this year, they were forecasting 3.4%. And for next year, the end of next year, they're forecasting 3.08%. So prices, of course, may not be as low as they have been in the past, but they're not going to be much lower.
One of the interesting notes in your story today, and everybody can look for Suzanne's story on Bloomberg.com, Wall Street Can't Stop Stripping. You don't get the music, but you do get the information. You said this is an obscure corner of the bond market and in as heavily invested as in many others. But if you were smart enough to get into this, you've made quite a return.
Right. The returns this year so far has been about 50%. I think more so 47% or so. But it's still the highest in the U.S. bond market.
Do people think that that can continue, or is this as best as it's going to get? How much generally do strips outperform?
Usually they tend not to do as well. They tend to do better in a very low rate, low inflation environment when expectations for inflation are going to be lower or are lower. In a case like this, this is the third time since about 1997 that they've been this high, or this is the third highest they've been since about 1997. So they've really, really outperformed this year. In terms of sustainability, they may not return as much next year, and that's what a couple of the people that we spoke with were saying, that, you know, as you mentioned, wage pressures are going to go up, and the Fed meets this week, and they may raise rates a little bit, but we'll see. Sustainability, maybe not, but we'll see.
Suzanne Walker, great story on the strips market right now. Fed 5-year inflation break-even, 1.97%, and it's down a little bit today, so people are still betting on that low interest rate environment, even though we have had some better than forecast economic data today. Well, we'll take a look at how the markets are all trading coming up here on Taking Stock. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio. And coming up next, we're going to talk about mergers and acquisitions. This was going to be a Merger Monday kind of day, then oil took over, but there were some deals to talk about. We'll do that next, coming up here on Taking Stock.